Welcome in, everybody, to Scout's Eye on College Football on the Landry Football Podcast Network, Off the Hook Sports YouTube channel, and great to be on with our folks with the Big Game Podcast Network. Be sure to check out the Big Game Football Streaming Network, where you can find America's best independent college football's podcast. We've got a lot to get to today, but a reminder, we are providing you the best film room game breakdowns of all of these college games, as well as the NFL, over at LandryFootball.com. You know, we break down the tape for you and tell you what really happened from a coaching and scouting perspective. You know what happened. We explain why it happened. We'll take it by conference. We'll take it in a national perspective. We break it down in every part you can imagine. But we're going to react to everything in detail on LandryFootball.com. Remind you to take advantage of the football season sale today at LandryFootball.com. Very simple. For 1 year, it's $69.99. If you want to try it out for a month, it's $9.99. We've got a $39.99 offer for 6 months. This will get you everything from recruiting to the draft, NFL free agency, college football, you name it, all the latest inside news and information. We've got it for you. Again, over at LandryFootball.com. Sign up, subscribe, like, and share, if you would, the Landry Football Podcast Network and the Off the Hook Sports YouTube channel. And again, check out our great folks at the Big Game Podcast Network, the best live streaming network you can find for independent individual shows. It's an interesting week. Obviously, there's not the big shakeup at the top, but there's some interesting developments. Obviously, a nice win by Tennessee. Georgia, Alabama, and Ohio State kind of roll on. Michigan, had some issues with Maryland, but took care of business. Clemson's offense came alive. Oklahoma, boy, the Kansas State factor rears its head. I was impressed with how USC was how they were able to beat Oregon State, a good team. A lot to get to. A number of things that kind of jump out at me just around the top 25. I'm going to start with the Tennessee, as that game was built as a big game and a statement game. I really didn't see it that way. I don't think this Florida team is very good offensively from a passing game standpoint. I did think that Tennessee was quite a bit better than Florida, and I didn't think they played all that much better. I thought the pace of the game was dictated by Florida. I thought Florida did a really good job of controlling the pace, slowing down the pace, keeping Tennessee's offense off the field, limiting their possessions, and affecting their rhythm and timing on offense. But in the end, Tennessee was going to get their points, and they did. But Tennessee really couldn't finish off Florida as well or as quickly as they should have, I think. They struggled to get a couple of key third downs and get a couple of first downs, convert some third downs. Defensively, they had a lot of free runners running free in coverage. Florida, you know, was able to make this a closer game down the stretch. What does it mean for Tennessee? Look, it's a great win. You beat Florida for the first time in a while, and it's maybe a statement game in that sense, but there's a lot of things to clean up. So for Tennessee, is tougher games are coming around the corner. They get a bye week this week. Then they've got LSU in Baton Rouge. So they've got to play, I think, better at this stage. Look, Georgia was not real impressive over Kent State. Sloppy performance. It happens. Here's the takeaway from that. It has nothing to do with how good they are. It has everything to do with how focused they were. So does it focus or tell us anything about the future for Georgia? I think not. Here's what happens as coaches when you play a game that's very sloppy. You start to ingrain bad habits. If you don't do things right all the time the way you're supposed to do them, I don't care what profession you're in, but all of a sudden, in our case in football, in our profession that I grew up in and have been in all my life, if you tend to do things in a sloppy fashion because you're playing Kent State and you're up by this many points and there's no way they can come back and win and it's only a margin, well, then you get a little sloppy. It gets a little bit easier to maybe not be as sharp in a bigger game when it matters. So in the fourth quarter, when it's a pivotal play, and you're not a sharp because you haven't done it consistently, you got a problem. I use this analogy. Let's just say you get a habit of wake up at 5 a.m. If that's just your thing, well, I'm going to hit the snooze button for 15 minutes. It's not going to hurt anything. Maybe it won't. But you get a little bit later and a little bit later, and it's a little bit later. And before you know it, your day changes and your priorities change and your focus changes. And it's hard to change those habits back to good habits. So that's really all it means in terms of Georgia is you got to go back and fix things. You got to sharpen things. You've got to show how things can be better and how they need to be better. And if you don't do them all the time, it becomes more difficult to change it. Ohio State was very impressive over a Wisconsin team that's not nearly as good. Alabama started to get their receivers open, and you see a little bit of development there. Michigan didn't dominate Maryland, but was in control of the game. Defensively, I knew they were going to get challenged. We told you over at LandryFootball.com how that was likely going to play out. Maryland's got a very good offense, and I thought they handled things. Clemson, I thought, was very impressive offensively. They unleashed things. Their defense gave up some points and some yards to a Wake Forest team. It was an exciting game to watch. If you didn't get a chance to watch it. Up and down the field, it was really, really exciting. What was not exciting for Miami fans was the play of the Hurricane. My goodness, what a disaster. They didn't get beat by Middle Tennessee. They got pummeled. Not ready to play, not focused. You're not good enough to do that against a weaker team and win if you're Miami. You don't have that luxury. You're not that focused. It's a bit of a overhyped team. I said going into A&M, they might have trouble against A&M. They did. They were sloppy. There you go. They were sloppy against A&M. They came into this game, you know, licking their wounds, feeling sorry for themselves. We got this win. We got to focus in the conference play. And you get embarrassed. You get your hat handed to you against Middle Tennessee. Real interesting game. Oklahoma, boy, do they have problems. What about Adrian Martinez? More on him in a second. Part of our winners and losers segment that we like to break down each and every week. But defensively, yeah, I've seen improvements in terms of technique and assignment by Oklahoma. But boy, did Kansas State make them pay. Look, I think Brent Venables handled it pretty well. I hear some of the national pundits say, well, yeah. Oklahoma was left in a great situation by Lincoln Riley. Well, Lincoln's doing it at USC. Lincoln Riley didn't leave Oklahoma in a great situation. He took the quarterback. He took a lot of different things. I think that Oklahoma is just fine and will be just fine with Brent Venables. It was a step back defensively, but it was a Kansas State offense that can run the football. Surprised that they lost as much contain as they did in this game. It was an assignment flawed for Oklahoma's defense, a problem. Offensively, they kept coming back and coming back. Something to learn from. That Big 12 is going to get real interesting, isn't it, folks? Because you got Texas losing to Texas Tech out in Lubbock. Is that the last time the Longhorns go to Texas Tech? I don't know. Maybe the last time they play in conference out there. I don't know. We'll see. But that was a really good performance there by Tech. They were very well prepared. I thought the defense let Texas down. I thought offensively, you can't complain about that performance. I thought Hudson Card played well. I thought defensively, they let go of the rope a little bit. Joey's got that team playing well at Tech, playing with a lot of confidence. You know, it's a lot of emotion. And that's the difficulty. If you're Texas and you're not that elite team or program, which they are not at this point, teams, particularly in that league, particularly in that state, play you as if you're the best, you're number one in the country. They want to beat you and embarrass you and do so. You better be ready to play. And I think Sark's learning that. I think that defensive effort was not a very good one. USC, I mentioned, I thought would have some problems with Oregon State. I mentioned on the Landry Football Podcast Network this past week. And again, subscribe, like, and share that. And we explained why that was, and we explained it over in LandryFootball.com. But I'm going to tell you, it was a different game than I expected, folks. I thought it was going to be more high scoring. I was impressed with A, how Oregon State was able to control this explosive USC offense to just 17 points. But I was impressed that USC was able to win a defensive game against an Oregon State offense that schemes up very well. So really nice job there. Some other thoughts that jumped out at me. Auburn, Missouri, what an ugly game that was. Just ugly. Two teams going nowhere. Elijah Drinkwitz I don't think that team's well prepared or well coached week in and week out. Auburn is in a mess. There's going to be a change, but they're 3-1. Kansas, boy, making big time plays in space. Forced a lot of missed tackles this week. Very, very impressive performance. How about Baylor? Settled in nicely on a road win against Iowa State. Really nice win. And, you know, Baylor may be the team that's the most complete in the Big 12. We'll see if they get enough on offense. I mentioned Clemson's offense and their performance against Wake. How about TCU and making some defensive stops against SMU? That was impressive. Colorado gets just hammered by UCLA. We talked about the Florida game a little bit. How about at the same time frame, Minnesota dominating Michigan State? Thought they would beat Michigan State. I didn't think they'd hammer. Michigan State's got issues. You're talking about jumping the gun. You're talking about panicking. You're talking about letting a booster go crazy with the whole Mel Tucker rules, and that's the Jimmy Sexton effect going full throttle there. Mel Tucker, I'm not saying he's not going to do a good job at Michigan State, but that team is erratic. And I think Minnesota's just got a better team this year. That was a big game. They are definitely the front runner in the West of the Big Ten right now. Notre Dame, well, you figure out a way to get your offense unleashed, go up against this North Carolina defense. We've got some recruiting news that a kid, I think one of the best pass rushers in the country and certainly in the state of North Carolina, is leaning towards the Tar Heels. Man, do they need them. The defensive effort by North Carolina is something to behold, how bad that is. But Notre Dame gets their offense going a little bit. You start to see them developing their identity some. I felt it was going to be a tough game and a very important game for Jeff Collins at Georgia Tech. You can't lose to UCF. With everything that's going on, and expect to survive. Well, he hasn't. He is out at Georgia Tech. We're going to have a complete breakdown on LandryFootball.com on kind of the state of that program, where they have been, where they are, and where they need to go going forward. But the issues at Tech, just in – because the game itself was more of what we've seen out of Tech. There's no answer on offense. Look, they have not progressed. You can talk a good game. You can sell the whole, you know, we're the new kids on the block in the 404, and you can lift weights on the sidelines. That gimmicky stuff, that Harry High School stuff, doesn't mean a darn thing, okay? You've got you have to have a plan and you have to develop. And I think that is a difficult job because you're never going to get great players at Georgia Tech. What you have to do is be creative and find good players. Georgia, the state of Georgia, is one of the elite recruiting states in terms of quality and quantity. You can get really good ones. I don't use this 4-star, 5-star vernacular, but I know most of you do. So I'm going to use this analogy. There are a lot of 3-star guys in the metro Atlanta area that are trending more towards 4-stars that you need to get those guys. And you may not get them away from Georgia and Alabama and maybe the upper tier of the SEC, but you can get a number of those guys. And you need to get them. And you need to develop the heck out of them. It's difficult. The math requirements and all of that you got to take at Tech is different. It's a different situation. But you've got to somebody that find somebody that can embrace that and deal with it. Somebody like a Willie Fritz at Tulane, for example. Arkansas A&M, what a game. What a wild game. It wasn't a very well-played game. I come out of that game with more questions about both of those teams than attaboys for either one. I thought Arkansas let that game get away. What a turnaround. You're going in for a 21-7 lead if you're Arkansas. Turn the football over. Not turn it over to A&M. Turn it over, and on the same play, it's run back. It's tied up, and the game changed. The air went out of the bubble for Arkansas. They were sloppy. Look, we said that you could throw on Arkansas. I didn't think A&M was very good on offense. I think A&M's still looks like a good defensive team that is at best average to slightly below on offense. They're going to miss Anaya Smith. I hate it for that young man. Shane, you've got to get the ball into his hands as much as possible. But I don't look at it as a turnaround. Now, the difference is if you lose that game if you're A&M or if you lose against Miami, which they could have lost both easily. They didn't. Attaboy, get a win, move on. Don't apologize for it. But the film says very average-looking team. Arkansas, not as good as last year. I think offensively, they didn't maximize what their capabilities were in this game. They made too many mistakes, and it killed them. A&M talks about that it wasn't a clean game. They won. It was Arkansas that made just as many mistakes. And then, of course, the way it ended with the field goal that hits the top of the upright and bounces in. I've seen strange things. That's certainly one of them. But it's a game that was interesting, not very well played, but I've got questions about both teams. Ohio State's blowout of Wisconsin didn't surprise me, but it impressed me. They are the best-looking offensive team in the country. They've got loads of weapons. I think Georgia's been in that category, too. Ohio State has been, too. USC has been, too. But this Ohio State team is starting to click now. Alabama plays well. I mentioned their receivers. We mentioned Kansas State's win. We mentioned Oregon State over USC. I tell you, on offense, that's really clicking. And I don't know how many folks in the Deep South are paying much attention. I get it. But I watch everybody and study everybody. Michael Penix and this Washington, University of Washington offense in Seattle under Kalen DeBoer, that's a perfect example. Was one heck of a coach. From Fresno, comes in, and he's got that team. Get you a good football coach. That's what you need to get when you've got an opening. They've got one at Washington, and they're playing very well. Georgia takes care of business. Really interesting. Some kind of winners of the weekend. Boy, it's got to be Kansas State. It's got to be Adrian Martinez. This looks like a team that can contend. Remember, their loss last week was to Tulane. So that is not going to affect them. They're not a national contender. But this puts them right in the Big 10, Big 12 race, excuse me. But it was unbelievable. Play after play, Oklahoma coming up with a big play, matching Kansas State, getting back in the game, only to have the door shut and shut again. And shut one more time. And yet one another by Adrian Martinez. Unbelievable. The loser? Wow, Miami. Back to the drawing board. You can sell Miami. You can sell NIL. But you can't sell culture. You have to develop that. You've got to get guys that understand what it does, what it means to compete, to work. Mario's got to understand that. I thought that. Look, game management issues with Mario has always been there. I saw his teams be very talented at Oregon and win, and yet I saw him get out-coached quite a bit. In this case, he was out-coached, but it was about the players not ready to play. That's a culture issue at Miami that they've got to fix. There's no excuse to lose this game. Okay, they got to build up their roster. There's no question. But that has nothing to do with losing to Middle Tennessee. That's just players not giving a flip and doing a bad job. This is a middle-tier Conference USA team that got beat by 37 by James Madison. Now, James Madison is a very good FCS team. They beat this Middle Tennessee team by 37-3-7. Miami weren't ready to play. Not competing for titles this year. We know that. But losing to Middle Tennessee is bad. Clemson, I would put the offense as a winner. I think DJU's be a winner here. I thought they struggled in the secondary in this game overall to Clemson, but I thought their offense was really good. DJ, 5 touchdowns. And even me questioning, hey, you know, where is this going? Maybe you need a little more mobility at quarterback. The receiver stepped up. The pass protection stepped up. Going to be a real interesting test. One of the big matchups this week is obviously Clemson and NC State. Wake Forest doesn't have a very good defensive unit, so we'll see if DJ can do it going forward. I know Dabo comes out and says, oh, everybody that doubted DJ, look, there's very reason to doubt DJ, okay? Cool your horses there. Let's let him develop, play consistently, and win throughout the course of the year and prove what he's doing offensively, that he can be an elite quarterback, an elite passer, and then you can talk. Right now, not so much. Loser, I'd say Arkansas. Arkansas, I thought, looked like the better team talent-wise. I thought they spit the bit. I thought they played poorly, which is unlike a Sam Pittman coach team. Not just the Cam Little miss, but some other issues. KJ Jefferson snafu. Giving Aggies a couple of turnovers. And one of them, a 97-yard return. This is not a great Arkansas team by any stretch, and they'll get hammered by Alabama, I believe. But, you know, this was a game I think they should have won. They just didn't play well enough and made too many mistakes. Minnesota, good team. Nice win, blowout win over Michigan State. Winner there. It's not a great Michigan State team, but Tanner Morgan, Ibrahim, good running game. With Purdue and Illinois ahead on the schedule, look for the Gophers to be 6-0 before heading into a showdown with Penn State. So keep Minnesota on your radar. Loser, Missouri. Auburn had no business winning that game. Auburn doesn't have any answers offensively as it relates to the passing game. Missouri still couldn't win. They're sitting there. Auburn's rotating their third and fourth string quarterback. They couldn't get the ball in the red zone, yet they still won. A dropped interception of Robbie Ashford's pass there late. Auburn missed the field goal in initial overtime. Missouri's offsides gave Carlson another kick. He nailed it. Missouri, with just decent coaching, would be 3-1. They're 2-2, and it's a game they should have won. And it would have looked good for them, even though it's a little bit fool's gold. Let's take a look around the conferences again. ACC plus Notre Dame. Devin Leary was pretty effective. They blew out Connecticut. Keaton Slovis returned from an injury. Pitt rolled past Rhode Island. Florida State moved to 4-0 for the first time since 2015 with that blowout win over Boston College. Jordan Travis has been pretty good this year. Played pretty well. This BC team is struggling. But they limited BC to just 3.7 yards per play. The Drew Pryne era of Notre Dame football, playing pretty well. Again, North Carolina defense. Jeff Collins' situation, we've talked about. It was an ugly loss, 27-10 to UCF. And 10-27 is not going to do it. Malik Cunningham threw for 186 yards, ran for 113 as they Louisville role plays South Florida. Syracuse 4-0. They got the big win over Virginia. It was close. They actually led 16-0 at halftime, but they are just doing enough. Are they overly impressive? Not really, but they're finding ways to win. And look, all kudos to them. In the Big Ten, Wisconsin, no answers for Ohio State. We talked about that. Ohio State didn't punt to like the 6-minute mark of the third quarter. Blake Corum, I thought, was the key factor for Michigan in their win over Maryland, 34-27, 243 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns. It's the only Michigan back to rush for over 240 yards in a single game since 2000. That was Shoelace. Denard Robinson did that in 2010 against Notre Dame. Penn State handled Central Michigan pretty effectively. 4-0 is their record. Iowa beat Rutgers 27-10. Defense created 14 points. The offense, 13. It's up, man. That adds up to 27 points. Do the math there. Say what you want about the Hawkeyes, but they can score points defensively and stop you. Rutgers can't score a lick against that defense. It was going to be difficult. An injury forced Aiden O'Connell to sit out for Purdue, and it impacted them. They did just enough to beat FAU 28-26 with Austin Burton in the game, threw for three touchdowns. How about Indiana getting hammered by Cincinnati? The Hoosiers were down 38-10 at halftime. We talked about this game. This Cincinnati team is not as the same team as last year, but this Indiana team was very functional in its wins against Indiana, protecting the ball. They were just hammered by the Bearcats here. Northwestern, what a bad loss. They lost to Southern Illinois last week. They lost to Miami of Ohio 17-14. Really, really bad. Chase Brown ran for 108 yards in the Illini 31-0 win over UT Chattanooga. Big 12, we talked a little bit about Baylor. Their quarterback, Blake Chapman, made the most of the Big 12 start. Threw for 238 yards and three touchdowns. Baylor went on to beat Iowa State 31-24. Hunter Decker's intercepted interceptions prevented the Cyclones from coming back from that deficit to win it. Texas Tech, as we mentioned, nice win over Texas, 37-34. Joey McGuire's team, as I said, playing with a lot of confidence. Like, I think it's a really good fit there. I don't want to jump the gun. I think you'll be able to recruit pretty well the right type of Tech players. They played with a lot of energy, which they didn't really play a whole lot with a whole lot of energy consistently under Matt Wells. Joey's going to be creative on offense. Look, you got to do a little bit more. I like it thus far. Loving what I'm seeing in Lawrence, Kansas with Lance Leipold. At 4-0, you know, to be able to get to go 4-0, you know, to get to this point, to be able to make people miss offensively, to get defenses misaligned. Very impressed what they're doing there. Sonny Dykes returned to Dallas and was, it's TCU, as I mentioned, getting some stops. Look, they gave up 34 points. I'm not saying they played great defense, but 42-34, you knew it was that type of game. Both offenses moved at will, but TCU won the turnover battle, and SMU's interceptions led directly to TCU's touchdowns. That was the difference in the game. That's what I call opportunistic defense. On Friday night, Neil Brown got a much-needed road win over Virginia Tech. That's a team that I'm wondering, let's watch. That's a team that looks a little bit better and that could get a little bit better as the year goes along. I am very curious to see what West Virginia does here in the next 2 or 3 weeks. Out of the Pac-12, we mentioned USC put together a 95-yard touchdown drive in the closing minutes, intercepted Chance Nolan in the waning seconds to escape with a 17-14 win over a tough place to play in Corvallis. I can speak that from personal experience. The Trojans were forced to win with their defense after their offense really couldn't get it done. But really good job getting some turnovers, four turnovers. They forced 14 turnovers through 4 weeks, have this USC defense. Good job there, at least of flipping the team over there. Bo Nix threw for 428 yards and a come-from-behind victory over Washington State. Nix is, boy, he is up and down. I mean, terrible pick six. It looked good for the Ducks since that Georgia game. The Cougars were up 12 midway through the fourth quarter, but Oregon scored three touchdowns in just under 3 minutes. Swung that game in a way so fast it'd make your head spin. True freshman Jaden Ott really popped off with a 275 yards, three touchdowns. Cal beat Arizona to open up Pac-12 play to 49-31 win. Ott is a really good player, and I think he got my vote. Here's a freshman, true freshman of the week. Jack Charbonnet ran all over Colorado. Who doesn't? 45-17. The Bruins are 4-0 for the first time since 2015. Colorado is the only winless Power 5 program to this point. Now, they've not played weak people, so that's the reason why, but they're bad. In the SEC, we've talked about it. Kent State covered that 41-point spread. That's why a lot of Georgia fans are mad. They put money on the games, and you lose it. You don't win by 50. Shame on you. Brock Bowers played great again. For Alabama, I mentioned the receiving corps. In particular, I'd like to point out Ja'Cory Brooks, who stood out on film. Big-time game, 117 yards, two touchdowns, as they dominated Vanderbilt, undermanned Vanderbilt team 55-3. Kentucky did not look very good against Northern Illinois. Will Levis threw well, four touchdowns. They can throw the football, but they're not establishing the run like Kentucky normally does. We talked a good bit about the game at Rocky Top, and the Vols are 4-0 for the first time since 2016. You don't beat Florida very often, so celebrate. Got some cleaning up to do there. Florida's got a ways to go. Passing game, still struggling. I thought AR played better because they were able to get some success attacking this very weak Tennessee Vol pass coverage. We said Ole Miss would struggle defensively against this Tulsa team. They won 35-27. Jackson Dart ran well. The freshman, Quishon Judkins, ran well from the running back position. Look, we said, pump the brakes on Ole Miss defense being really good. You haven't played a good offense. You're going to play one this week against Tulsa, and they had to outscore Tulsa this week. There's no question about it that this is going to be an intriguing matchup this week, Ole Miss and Kentucky. LSU role plays New Mexico. The Tigers defense held on to the Lobos, to just held them to just 88 yards. First shutout since 2018. Jaden Daniels doesn't look like the injury series, but he did leave with an injury. South Carolina did not look good early against Charlotte, but then came back, poured it on. Will Rogers threw for a bunch of yards, six touchdowns, and Mississippi State's win over Bowling Green. Some G5 notes. Middle Tennessee, we mentioned the big win for Rich Stockstill, 17th year at that program, and Murfreesboro, great win over Miami. James Madison made a big statement going on the road to beat Appalachian State. Cincinnati's really good, 3-0, beating Indiana. They're not last year's team, but they're pretty, pretty good. Man, is Boise State struggling. They fired their offensive coordinator. UTEP upset Boise State 27-10 on Friday night. Abysmal performance. Coastal Carolina off to a 4-0 start for the third straight season after a 41-24 win over Georgia State. You know, it's they pushed North Carolina and South Carolina with their other loss coming in competitive games with Carolina. And so, players of the week. Adrian Martinez, Kansas State, just incredible. I thought Derek Hall was very good in a win, an ugly win by Auburn, but a win nonetheless. When I look at the best teams in the country, I still got in the blue elite team category, which is national championship caliber. But right now, I don't think anybody's, obviously, somebody's got to be number one. I'm going to give you that. But my one, two, and three, right now through 4 weeks, they're all in the light blue category, which is outstanding team, a team with some of the qualities of a national championship team, but fall short in some of the areas. Likely a playoff caliber team. Well, these three teams are definitely playoff caliber teams, but I don't think they're playing as good as they would need to be to beat the other right now. And again, it's all moot because it's not right now. I would put Ohio State, they look a little bit more complete. You can make the case for Georgia 1-1A and then Alabama, but this is going to change. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. I don't have anybody in that very good category. I mean, just I think the rest of them are good teams that can compete week in and week out. Clemson, I want to see if their defense can step up like they have most of the year except against Wake Forest, and their offense can be more against Wake Forest. I think Clemson, USC, maybe Michigan, then throw in a Kentucky and a Tennessee. That's kind of the purple-graded teams. I'm very close to putting Clemson and USC in the red category, but I'm holding off a little bit. But they're the two best-looking teams right now. Look, let's call it what it is. People say, is so-and-so the fourth-best team in the country? Is Michigan the fourth-best? Is Clemson the fourth-best? Is USC the fourth-best? Well, who the hell is the fourth-best team? There is not. There is Ohio State, Georgia, and Alabama, in any order you want to put them in a huge drop. We said that prior to the season, and that's becoming even more apparent now. There's a huge drop. Somebody's got to make it. Somebody may get better and become a challenger at the fourth seed, but not so much right now. There's wide open there with a number of teams that could get in there. Look, it's clear. If you're looking at a Kentucky and Tennessee, they're going to have to get by Georgia. That's not going to happen. Michigan's going to have to get by Ohio State. So if I'm going to pick, I would pick Clemson and USC right now because Clemson can navigate through the ACC, although NC State's going to be a challenge. USC's got to play 9 conference games. That's going to be a challenge, but they have an easier path. So their team relative to path is probably in better position, but long way to go, folks. We'll get into more of that. Got even more detailed breakdowns of all the teams, all the games of this past weekend and every weekend over at LandryFootball.com. Make sure that you check it out. Take advantage of the football season sale. College football, the NFL, breaking down players, teams, coaches, schemes at the college and NFL level is what we do. So make sure that you do check that out. Subscribe, like, and share the Off the Hook Sports YouTube channel as well as the Landry Football Podcast Network. Subscribe, like, and share. That way we can bring you more shows just like this. Hey, appreciate you joining us. Join us later in the week as we're going to break down all of these teams, all of these games from within each conference over in the Landry Football Podcast Network, as well as giving you all the latest game previews all week long right here on the Landry Football Podcast Network. Subscribe, like, and share, folks. Talk to you next time. Have a great one.